Facebook on behalf of the Beach Flats residents?
Well, you know, it was, the place was packed. It was a standing room only thing with little old women forced to stand in the back for 2 hours of formal presentation. And people outside the place who couldn't even get into the warm building to stand. And so who felt what is a little hard to say. By the time people finally got this carefully orchestrated little 2 minutes to say something, most of the people were feeling, you know, fairly disenchanted and burned out by the whole thing.
About what time in the evening did the public comment period come?
Let's see, that must have been about 9 it began. We got, I believe, a total of 1 hour to speak, and that was divvied up to 2 minutes per person.
And
you know, this is in response to a 370-page document. 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Was there any conclusion taken by the council on the issue? Did they vote it up, vote it down, delay it to another hearing? What happened there?
There are supposed to be more hearings. There's supposed to be a number of additional hearings, though, when Mayor Scott asked the planning director, Eileen Fogarty, when the next hearing was, there was no specific date set, and she seemed to be saying that there would be nothing done until the EIR study on the plan came out, which she guessed would be sometime towards the end of next month, with nothing mentioned by way of a public hearing either on the comprehensive plan itself or on the EIR prior to that time. So there was no date set for the next public hearing, and yet it's known that the time period during which these plans can be challenged is something like 60 days or 90 days, and hardly ever, with all extensions granted, hardly ever more than 120 days.
So the clock is ticking at the moment?
The clock is ticking with no scheduled attempt to give the public a second shot at it.
When is the deadline for these challenges?
That is unclear at this point. That was another point that where they were very ambiguous in terms of exactly what the formal period was for public input.
Any unusual or interesting arguments or testimony given that you want to pass on to the listeners?
Well, what struck me is here people in the public are laying out these coherent and reasonable sounding suggestions that the neighborhood is getting chopped in half, most of which goes to a single private corporation in order to do stuff that is totally incompatible with the stated objectives of the book, which right from the get-go, right in the introduction, they talk about the purpose of this plan is to create extended stay tourism in the main beach area, longer season, less reliance on the automobile, i.e. less day tripping, more overnighters, when in fact the nuts and bolts of what is actually recommended in the plan and those parts of the plan that are actually likely to happen, as opposed to those parts of the plan which are sheer wish fulfillment and sort of plums being dangled in front of the public to get the public nodding along, the parts that are likely to actually happen have to do with projects that will clearly encourage more day trippers, expansion of the amusement park, realignment of Third Street, which is a part of the expansion of the amusement park, a huge parking structure that is suggested for right along the lower estuary, and a diagram of a proposed Ocean Street Bridge. All four of those are projects that serve absolutely nobody but day trippers and have nothing whatsoever to do with extending the tourist season or overnight or any of these other things. So the gap between the stated objectives and the reality of what the actual proposed plans will actually accomplish is like saying you're going to do one thing, but then in fact what you're going to do is something that's diametrically opposed to what you say you're going to do.
While I have you on the phone, Phil, let me ask you this, a couple of peripheral questions about, you probably have spoken to Tenants Union of Santa Cruz activists, TRUSC, Tenants Rights Union people.
Yes.
What's the situation like for evictions for folks in the beach flats? You're in the middle of that scene. How would you describe the situation for people?
Well, I don't feel like the tenants' rights organizations are on top of what's going down at all. If the other night's event was any indication, I didn't feel like the scan people were really identifying the problem very succinctly, and I didn't. The other tenants' rights organizations in town, as far as I know, weren't even there. So those folks, I think, agree that they can relate to other low-income people who might just happen to be of a different ethnic than themselves. They better get on the stick and join this fray.
Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I work with, has received various complaints about, well, one could find no better word than saying goon squad activity by seaside boardwalk wannabe police officers, security guards. Have you noticed any problem with those folks?
No, I could neither deny nor confirm that. It's possible. I have no direct knowledge of it. I hear the same allegations, but I could not independently confirm them.
And that was Frog Broth activist Phil Baer, longtime Beach Flats resident, giving us an update on what happened at the last city council meeting, the special city council meeting a week ago, and we're going into the main city council meeting on Tuesday, and at 5 o'clock the issue of relocation in the Beach Flats will come up at the City Council Redevelopment Agency section of their meeting. So come on to that. Come on at 3:30 and consider the. There's also actually a police services fees issue coming up in the afternoon. An issue of whether is Michael Hernandez a good member to be on a shelter advisory board and a justice council. Should the council support medical marijuana? Should the council sponsor a trip from the visiting ship, the Golden Bear, whatever that is? In the evening, what about the CPRB and the its resolutions? Essentially, its cover-up of the Happy John Dine case. Is that okay? Is everything over and done with? City Council this week promises to be pretty hot. We're now going to give a call to Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz activist Marco and see what he has to say.
Hey, Marco.
Hi, Robert.
You're on the air, Marco. Any 3-minute update for us on what's happening with the Tenants Union?
Why, certainly. Well, this is Marco from the Tenants Rights Union, and Donna's in the kitchen cooking up something. Our phone number here is 426-0644. Please give us a call because we need your help and volunteerism. It's really necessary. We have a lot of people we're working with. For instance, we have somebody who's blind and just received an unlawful detainer, and he can't even come to us, and we don't even have a car. So we need volunteers for things like that.
So they've moved from evicting Jesus on Christmas Eve,
yes,
to blind folks.
Oh, yes. Man, they got it all. They can write the book on horror. Horrors in housing.
What about your proposal to change eviction laws and provide protections for tenants at a county level?
Yeah, it's coming along nicely. I took all of the adjust courses for evictions for Santa Monica, Berkeley, wherever they have rent control ordinances. And you utilize them, but I redefined some of them. One that's common reads, just cause for eviction is for any illegal activity. You know, I would change that to any felonious activity, not any illegal, you know, because...
So crossing the sidewalk at a non-pedestrian place would not be basis for beginning evicted.
Yes. or playing your radio too loud or something. Who knows?
Sleeping outside without
mm-hmm.
a permit.
And then we'd want to have nuisance redefined more specifically, et cetera. And so I go about using the just causes that already exist, but beefing them up.
What's happening in terms of upcoming trials this week?
Upcoming trials this week, we have people going to court facing unlawful detainers this week.
You know when and where?
Or
folks perhaps can call you to get that kind of information?
Yes, people can call when we have that information, we definitely need people to come to court with us.
Okay, well, if you want to help out Marco and Donna of the Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, give them a call at 426-0644.
Oh, wait a second.
Anything else you want to add, Marco?
Donna might want to add something.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, please give us a call at 426-0644. And we're having a meeting on Monday nights at 515 Broadway, right there near Ocean Street. And we hope to see you all there.
So Monday at 515 Broadway at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. And, of course, I will add that you Tenants' Rights Union folks are invited today to the meeting currently being held even as we speak at 706 Frederick Street to end the sleeping ban.
706 Frederick, okay.
Uh-huh.
I know that is. Right now it's happening.
Indeed.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM is what you're tuned to. The closing minutes of Bath Robespierre's Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor. Here's an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, Robert Bear here.
Oh, hi, Phil Bear. You must have heard your voice on the radio and recognize yourself.
Oh, I fell in love.
Anything you want to add about the upcoming 5 o'clock relocation policy session this Tuesday at City Council on the Beach Flats?
Well, you just did it. You are a mind reader. Just wanted to have you repeat that one for the folks out there in Radio Land.
Actually, we covered a little bit from David Silva. Do you have anything you want to add to that 5 o'clock session coming up on Tuesday at City Council?
That's a 5 o'clock City Council session or redevelopment?
It's the redevelopment agency, but of course it's the same group, and it happens right after the City Council meeting and in the same place. So I'm kind of using shorthand here.
Sure. 5 o'clock on Tuesday is the redevelopment. Well, it's curious in one regard that comes to mind. We've been talking to people in other cities up and down the coast that used to have amusement parks. And no longer have amusement parks. And the feeling we're getting is that when they take out the amusement park, things like blight and substandard housing and high crime rates and traffic problems and litter diminish rather remarkably, and the local economy not just increases but booms. And as we talk to these people, it is, in most of those cases, places like Venice, Long Beach, San Diego, San Francisco, it was, in fact, the redevelopment agency that really took the lead in sort of urging the owners of those properties to change their kind of business, because the redevelopment agency, if they're astute, knows what I just said, namely that these things are not really very good in terms of either economic or residential development in the area, unless you're in some place like Great America over there where there's nothing else much to do with the land anyway. So an amusement park might in fact be something like the highest and best use, but when you're talking about the main beach of Santa Cruz with a lot of potential, not to mention stuff like environmental significance, then an amusement park is most definitely not anything approximating the highest and best use. The redevelopment agency in these other towns spotted that and was causal in getting the amusement park to shift their revenue into some other kind of operation.
Phil.
Here, on the other hand, the redevelopment agency is taking the lead in pushing projects like the expansion of the amusement park.
You know, I'd like to do is have you give us an update on this after Tuesday, and in fact, I'd give you more time on the air now, but I have 3 minutes left of my own time.
Yes, sir.
So let me encourage people to give you a call at
423 423-0170.
423-0170 to get more details and possibly even a quick glimpse at the 300 and zippity page document.
70 page. It's a virtual Bible of nonsense.
And perhaps they can even stick their toes into the frog broth?
Yes, and attend that meeting on Tuesday at 5.
I'll give your number one more time.
423-0170.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
Thank you, Robert.
That was Phil Baer, community activist from the Beach Flats. And I've got a couple more things I'm going to try to rush to do before I get ousted by Reckless, who should be coming in soon. An interesting story from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland newspaper. Homeless man suffocated by cop guards at mental hospital. Report says restrained patient told police he couldn't breathe. Willoughby, strapped to a hospital gurney, Gregory Cooper told police and Lake West Hospital security guards repeatedly that he could not breathe, but they didn't listen. According to state investigators, an Ohio Department of Health five-page report found that Cooper suffocated in the emergency room on Christmas Eve, minutes after a towel was tied over his mouth to keep him from spitting. It also said that an emergency medical technician wanted the towel loosened, but that request was ignored, too. State findings have been forwarded to the Health Care Finance Administration, the federal agency that oversees the nation's hospitals, to determine whether Cooper's treatment violated federal regulations for emergency care. State investigators found 14 potential violations. State health officials were unavailable yesterday and Friday to elaborate on their findings. So apparently in Ohio, it's suffocation. In Santa Cruz, it's lead poisoning. The circumstances surrounding the death of Cooper, a 30-year-old homeless man with a history of mental health problems, had become the focus of separate criminal and medical investigations. Cooper had been taken to Lake West after becoming disruptive and threatening a counselor at Pathways, a mental health facility and mentor. According to their report, state investigators said the Lake West emergency room physician did not check on Cooper for nearly 3 hours after his initial examination. The doctor discovered Cooper had stopped breathing as ambulance workers wheeled him out to take him to a Cleveland psychiatric hospital. A nurse who gave Cooper an antipsychotic drug said that she checked on his restraints 10 minutes later, but told investigators she could not see him because other people were in the way. But investigators found the hospital staff did not neglect Cooper. After Cooper complained that he could not breathe, a Willoughby police officer reportedly responded, "Breathe through your nose. Anyone who can make that much noise isn't having any trouble breathing." Lake Hospital officials have declined comment on the state's report until they have read it. The hospital system has said it relies on police to restrain patients when customary methods fail and that police choose how to best control patients. Willoughby Police Chief Conrad Straub did not return telephone calls regarding his officer's actions. His department's criminal investigation has been turned over to Lake County Prosecutor Charles Colson. Based on initial conversations with detectives, Colson said there was no reason to suspect anything criminal. Well, call me suspicious-minded. I have to say that there could be foul play afoot there. Wow. Well, we've come to the end of our time. We had lots we wanted to talk about and numerous interviews that we hope to play in the future, an interview on how to use the common law to help you fight victimless crime type infractions, how homeless people can use this new system that B.E. Smith, a twangy tongued cowboy from up north, has brought south by at the leadership of Theodore Carey, who's a part of WAM, Women and Men for Medical Marijuana. She had a large forum on that subject a couple weeks ago. As you know, even as we speak at 706 Frederick, and everyone's invited to come, there is a meeting of the committee to repeal the sleeping ban, and petitions will be given out and a training session given to get those 5,000 plus signatures we need to make the right to sleep unmolested a reality here in Santa Cruz. They're about to come with a net, and actually here comes Reckless with a butterfly net. Get that net away from me. She's swooping down. All right, I've got to go. Please come back on Thursday at 6 and join me on Bathroom Spears Broadsides for what may be the next to the last show before Free Radio evaporates from its current secret address. Very secret. We're broadcasting to the street with loudspeakers. I like the secrecy of Free Radio Santa Cruz. I can dig it. Please, Free Radio Santa Cruz needs your help. Voicemail here is 427-4523. If you've got a place for Free Radio to go, and, you know, a paid place, people are willing to rent, give a call at 427-4523. We're going to go out on a little bit of the music of the infamous San Francisco mime troupe. They may not like me much personally, but I like their music, I've got to admit. This is from one of those early 80s masterpieces, Last Tango in Chalatenango.
Apúrense, compañeros, sit up close and lend an ear. Your people's blood has fertilized this land for many years.
The rose one poet worker sweat from years of slavery. Today we'll plant a field of bombs and set this pueblo free.
Vamos ya a hacer la bomba popular. Si hay que defender la tierra, voy a construir una bella bomba, voy. Esta arma de liberación, yo lo hago de mi corazón.
Acérquense, compañeros, set up close and lend a hand. Put 50 grams of gunpowder very carefully in a can.
Packing rocks for shrapnel, the fuse of rope will serve us well. If the warrior comes to take our land, we'll send them all to hell.
Vamos ya a hacer la bomba popular. Ya hay que defender la tierra hoy. Construir una bella bomba, voy. Esta arma de liberación, yo lo hago de mi corazón.
Yes, hello, 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 attack you.